BBC Listen.
Hello there, my name's Emily and you're listening to Newstime.
Hello, Emily.
Hello.
And hello to Newstime listener legend, Ava.
Hi, my name is Ava and I am 12 years old. I have a disability and use a communication device to speak. I live in Peterhead, South Australia, on Kaurna land. I like listening to Newstime because Emily is a good journalist, and I get to hear stories about other people with disabilities playing sport.
It's lovely to hear that, Ava. And you're in luck because this week on Newstime, we'll hear about an inclusive sport called adaptive skateboarding. We'll also find our way to a shop that's gone off the grid. And in our wow of the week, we'll slip on fashionable boots that have been made from a rather bouncy recycled item. So, what do you say? Shall we get the ball rolling?
Let's go.
Story number 5.
Let's go back in time, about 100 million years in fact, when this continent we call home looked very different. Stomping around the landscape was a dinosaur that has become one of Australia's most famous.
In Jurassic Park, there's a dinosaur called Bumpy.
Its name wasn't Bumpy, but to be fair, it was bumpy all over. This dinosaur is the Mutterburosaurus.
It ate butter?
No, that would be Munchabuttosaurus.
Funny.
The first fossil remains of the Mutterburosaurus were found about 60 years ago near the outback town of Mutterburra. Thousands of fragments have been unearthed over time, helping scientists get an idea of what this extinct creature actually looked like.
They can sort of study it and find out what it actually looked like.
They probably put all the fossils together and worked out that which dinosaur was like which.
Yeah, it's like a prehistoric puzzle. While fossils have taught us plenty about the Mutterburosaurus over half a century, about 1,000 newly recovered bone fragments have created a new picture showing this Aussie dinosaur with a very different face.
It has a longer neck than they thought it would have.
A yellow dinosaur.
Scientists have learned that the Mutterburosaurus had a narrower jaw shape than they first thought and extra teeth at the front of its face. Using a bit of tech, scientists created images of this dinosaur makeover, and people say its face looks a bit like, well,
a chicken?
Yes, a shriveled up chicken to be precise.
That is like a very funny thing to say.
I can't really describe most of it, but it doesn't look like a shriveled chicken.
Shriveled chicken or not, the Mutterburosaurus is too special to take at face value. But spare a thought for the Museums of Australia, who have a very tall order, updating the faces of their Mutterburosauruses. It's a Mutterburra newer looker.
Story number 4.
Not too long ago, a bus rolled its way through the deep red dirt of outback New South Wales. The bus was packed with members of the Sydney Youth Orchestra, which are a group of people who play all sorts of musical instruments, from violins to trombones. They were making the 11-hour journey to a town called Wilcannia. Can you guess what they were going to do there?
They really wanted to play music.
Whenever I went on a long road trip as a kid, as I so often did, I was always keen to stop and play. But yes, these musos were keen to play music. And when their bus reached its destination, members of the Wilcannia Children's Choir were standing by, ready to greet them.
Like, they probably all love playing music?
Yep, even though these young people came from very different places in New South Wales, what they have in common is a real love of music. By making the trip, the youth orchestra wanted to bridge the divide between city and country and learn from each other. And members of the Sydney Youth Orchestra were keen to learn about the local culture and listen to songs sung in the local Barkindji language.
That would sound super special.
The orchestras and choir spent a few days practicing music together in rehearsals before the main event, which was a big concert in front of the Wilcannia community. and they got to perform a significant song with a very special guest.
A bus driver.
No, not the bus driver. The musicians were joined by local Burkindji singer-songwriter Leroy Johnson to perform a song together called Rise Up. It has an important message saying that if you ever feel forgotten or overlooked, you can stand up and use your voice.
The country kids might have felt like that, but now they've got city friends.
It's a good reminder that even though we might live in different places, we all have a voice and sometimes an instrument too.
Story number 3.
Here's a question for you. Have you ever used a map?
I haven't used a paper map, but I think it would be amazing to have one.
I used a paper map for a treasure hunt.
Arr, X marks the spot, mateys.
Aye, Captain Emily.
Well, it's pretty hard to imagine a world without maps. They help us find where we want to go, they teach us about new places, but over the last few decades, people have been switching from using paper maps and atlases to maps on phones that use GPS.
At the roundabout, take the first exit.
In Adelaide, South Australia, there's a place packed to the rafters with maps, and it's called The Map Shop. Sounds fitting. It's been run by a man named Anthony for 35 years. But in news that's a little sad to those who are mesmerised by maps, the map shop is closing.
Because it's nearly night time.
No, not for the day. It's closing for good.
Probably because they were running out of maps.
Because no one wants to buy maps.
Well, plenty of people still enjoy buying maps. But Anthony, who's spent years creating and selling maps from all around the world, has decided to retire, and he hasn't been able to find anyone to step in and run the shop. Once this Adelaide store closes, there'll only be two more stores selling only maps in all of Australia, one in Melbourne and the other in Tassie. Anthony says it's a shame because there's so much you can do on paper maps that you can't do on your phone.
You can fold it in half. You can look at the map while looking at which way you're going.
You can find all the places instead of like a phone, you'd have to go scrolling across. But with a paper map, you can just find where you need to be.
Add things that you find that aren't on the map.
And a paper map can't run out of battery like a phone can. Before the shop folds, lots of people are coming to say goodbye and thank Anthony for his many years of pointing people in the right direction.
Story number 2.
If you play a sport, what sort of gear do you need?
Cricket, pads, a helmet, gloves, a ball and a cricket bat, dance shoes.
On the Gold Coast, there's a very keen skateboarder called Bobby. When she stands on her skateboard, she's got all the gear she needs too.
She's sort of connected to this bar sort of thing, and there's somebody helping her. The skateboard is tied to a thing that has wheels and allows her to hold onto it.
Bobby lives with a rare genetic condition that has affected her mobility. She uses a wheelchair to get around, but that hasn't stopped her from doing what she loves, skateboarding. Bobby straps on a helmet, but she's also got a harness and a custom-built frame, as well as a trained instructor by her side.
It's awesome that she can still skate.
Bobby loves to be active. She's tried a lot of things like sailing, gymnastics, and swimming. But it's adaptive skateboarding that's been her favourite. She's all smiles and loves that it helps her to connect with other people, including her instructor.
If you feel like something's impossible, then you might not try it. If you try it, you actually get a chance to see if it's impossible or if you can actually do it.
Adaptive skateboarding is growing in popularity on the Gold Coast. It was brought there by a professional skateboarder and coach named Jesse. One day when he was teaching two brothers how to skate, their sister showed up with a wheelchair and he wanted to include her. So he rigged up a skateboard under her walking frame and she was on her way.
You can keep following your dreams.
It's wonderful to see so many people getting on board with adaptive skateboarding.
Good job.
All right, friends, I've still got one more trick for you. It's our
wow of the week.
This story made me go wow because I didn't know you could use tennis balls to make this item.
If you've ever played tennis or watched a big tennis tournament like the Australian Open, you'd know that those little fuzzy fluoro tennis balls get hit pretty hard.
Whack, whack, whack. Ow, that hurts.
Yep, professional players can serve at speeds of more than 200 kilometres an hour. And as you can imagine, it doesn't take them long to lose their bounce and wear out completely.
So if you didn't have something inside the tennis ball that makes it a ball, and it would just be fabric, and you need the thing inside it, but that can sometimes crack and it's not much use anymore.
While some balls might end up as dog chew toys or for backyard cricket, it's estimated that each year 10 million tennis balls end up in landfill. In Melbourne, while working at the Australian Open, a woman named Lillian saw how many tennis balls were being chucked in the bin and decided to do something about it. Instead of taking the old balls to the tip, she turned them into something new.
Some linen clothes.
Gum nuts.
You could make gloves, snow boots.
Lillian took a stack of tennis balls, shredded them down into a fine material, and turned them into rubber soles for boots. That's the rubber stuff under your shoe that you walk on.
What a clever idea.
Lillian's friends got involved setting up bins at tennis clubs for people to put old balls into, and now 30 clubs are involved in this recycling scheme. It makes you wonder what other sport equipment you could recycle.
Broken skateboards, broken cricket bats, cricket balls to use for recycle and don't waste.
Great stuff, Lillian, and it's a good reminder to keep your eyes peeled to see what things around you could be made new. Alrighty, I hope you've been listening very carefully because it's time for today's quiz. Question 1. What's the name of the famous Australian dinosaur named after a town in outback Queensland? The Muttaburrasaurus. Always a mouthful. Question 2. What outback town did the Sydney Youth Orchestras travel to? Wilcannia. Question 3. Why is the shop of maps in Adelaide closing? Its owner Anthony is retiring. Question 4. What's the name of the sport that Bobby loves? Adaptive skateboarding. And question 5. How many tennis balls go into landfill each year? 10 million. If you'd like to be a Newstime listener legend like Ava, ask your grown-ups to head to the Newstime page on the ABC Kids Listen website.
Catch you next time.
Thanks, Emily.
You're welcome. Well, I'm off to the courts for a hit of tennis. I just need some directions. Oh, well, there's a map for that. Newstime is an ABC Kids Listen podcast. For other awesome podcasts to play, music to move to, and stories and soundtracks for sleep, head to the Kids tab on the ABC Listen app. It's free from your app store.